For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Tonight we're looking at modern versions endorse slavery. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your pure word. We thank you for your accurate word. And we thank you, Lord, that we can build our lives upon that foundation of the word of God. And Father, I ask that as we look at this very important subject of being consistent in believing the truth, that Lord, you impress upon our hearts how important it is, and also just what treasure it is to have a wonderful, pure word in our hands. And we praise you, Lord, for that, and give you all the glory tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight we're looking at modern versions endorse slavery. I want to, first of all, have a look at Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. And we'll look at a couple of verses in Proverbs 30. We'll look at verse 5 and verse 6 in Proverbs 30. One of the very important things to understand about having the word of God is God inspired and put his word into the earth. And that's every single word that he put into the earth. He did not expect any of that to be lost. So right through the process of history, no matter what enemies have come against the word of God, God has preserved his word and will preserve his word right throughout history. No matter what enemies, whether they be devils, circumstances, evil men, wickedness, whatever, and there's lots of that, and we even see lots of tampering with the word of God today, that all of that coming to bear against the church and against the word of God cannot stop God's accurate word from being preserved right through history, right to the end of time and beyond. So notice what it says in verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. As far as God is concerned, every word matters. It's pure. He doesn't want it lost. You should be putting your trust in him. And that's based on the word of God, of course. There should be none of this adding to his words. And that includes private interpretation. Because the conclusion that God puts upon that type of activity is that you would be found a liar. So when we look at modern versions and slavery or slaves, the word slave is really a good object lesson for us to have a look at how the pure Bible treats verses that modern versions put the word slave into. So let's start off with something that should be pretty clear, and that is that a slave is in a bad position. Okay, so historically there have been whole nations that where slaves have been legal. Egypt is an example, and even today there's nations which propagate slavery, and for example in some of the Muslim nations. So a slave is a person who is stated to be the property of another and is forced, as that word forced, to obey them. And you can look at the more in-depth definition in the Oxford English Dictionary. But the characteristics of a slave are clear. They have no rights, they have little to no choice, and they have no freedom, and they're in bondage. So if I was to say, put a slave and a servant side by side, would you know the difference? Well, the servant has wages, is doing it by choice, and there are rights attached to servanthood. So I think you can see that there is a clear difference between the word slave and the word servant. So let's continue on. So slavery is never good. In Exodus 20 verse 2, God led his people out of bondage, and this is what he says, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." So you can see it's God's will for his people not to be in bondage. And of course, you know what happened in Egypt, where the children of Israel were slaves for a time in Egypt, and then through the Lord's work, they were led out of Egypt. So God gives liberty to his people, liberty, freedom, and we see that in many verses in the Bible. Galatians 5:1, verse 1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the," what? "Liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Now notice this, because the word slave is the opposite of freedom, okay? I don't think of slave and think of freedom, do you? I don't, and neither should you, because it's the opposite concept. "So wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Let's also have a look, if you've got your Bible there, just to open up to Luke 4, verse 18. Luke 4, verse 18. And this is what Jesus said. And you can see the whole emphasis of the Lord is that his people be free, have free will, and to choose to serve him. To choose to serve him. So in verse 18 of Luke 4, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." So God is about liberty and freedom. He's never about forcing people to serve him. And as you know, he created man with a free will, and man was free to disobey him, which Adam and Eve did. So the King James Bible doctrine is very important for us to understand here, because we want to have a consistent faith, and the whole emphasis of having a pure word and a proper word is that our faith can be consistent and our doctrine can be consistent. So the King James Bible doctrine on slavery shows God's will and proper position. So the word slave is only used twice in the King James Bible and in a negative way. And we won't go to those two, but I'll just quote them. Jeremiah 2 verse 14 and Revelation 18 verse 13. So it's not as though the King James Bible translators never knew what the word slave was or what it meant. They clearly knew the difference between the word slave and the word servant. And I think we also know that difference. The second point there, God's people are referred to as servants, or at times having servants. And I see no problem with having servants today. Obviously, such servants would be paid some sort of wage. God provides liberty to people. We read a couple of verses related to that. God does not have slaves. It's a very important concept. God does not have slaves. Christians are to follow after God. See, how could you be a consistent Christian and be against slavery? For example, Abraham Lincoln, one of the Republican presidents of the United States, was against slavery and was one that was used to free the slaves in the United States. So Christians are to follow after God, so you cannot be consistent if God is saying, "Well, I have slaves," and yet you're fighting slavery. It makes no sense. But modern versions say God has slaves. And you can see, for example, in Romans 6, verse 22, the New International Version says, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life." Now, that same term, slaves of God, can also be found in the Amplified, the ESV, the New American Standard Version, the NLT, etc. So it's not just found in one of the modern versions, it's found in many of them. The same type of thing in Ephesians 6, verse 6. The New International Version says, "Obey them not only to win their favour when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." So you can also find that in other modern versions, such as the Amplified, the New American Standard Bible, and the NLT, etc. So, no doubt you're wanting to know what the proper Bible has to say in those verses. And you don't have to guess, because the proper Bible says God has servants. "But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." That's what Romans 6 verse 22 says in the King James Bible. And Ephesians 6 verse 6 in the King James Bible says, "Not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." So there's a key one, isn't there? Doing it from the heart. It's a choice. And we know that God loves a cheerful giver. So we're giving of ourselves from the heart. And you can see that if you're a slave of Christ, there's no choice involved with that. But of course, servants of Christ, we have chosen willingly to serve God, to serve Christ, and to love him with all our heart. So the biblical standard for Christians is we are to follow God. And Mark 8:34b says, and this is what Jesus said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." So you can see that it would be hard to be a follower of God and yet say, "Well, I'm against the idea of slavery." Now, a lot of people don't mentally make that connection, because a lot of people don't have, particularly those using modern versions, don't have these type of things pointed out to them in terms of, do you have a consistent faith? Do you have a consistent Bible? But of course, I believe God is going to indeed expand these doctrines and ideas as the church goes forward into the future. So the biblical standard for Christians is we are to conform to Christ. Romans 8 verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So God does not have slaves, so neither should his people condone or have them. I think that's a pretty easy concept to understand. So the consistent Bible is our standard. Now, this is very important to understand. An anti-slavery doctrine cannot come from modern Bible versions. You cannot have an anti-slavery doctrine if you're holding to modern versions. Only the King James Bible is consistent with its use of the word servant. So I mentioned a famous man called Abraham Lincoln. He was a Republican, an anti-slavery Republican president. Whilst at the White House, Lincoln and his family often attended the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church. Okay, so that's where he regularly attended. So the anti-slavery Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, said of the Bible, and this was at the time in 1864, upon the presentation of a Bible by the loyal coloured people of Baltimore, this is what he said about the Bible. Now remember, he's anti-slavery. The Bible he was presented with would have been in 1864, a King James Bible. This is what he says. In regard to this great book, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the good the Saviour gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. So I believe there's quite a bit of evidence to show that he was consistent in what he was saying here and being against slavery at the same time. Another area is that modern versions say God's people had slaves. For example, in Genesis 16 verse 1, the New International Version says this. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. And it's the same in other modern versions, such as the CV, the GW, GNT, etc. No doubt you'll be wanting to know what the proper Bible has to say in this verse. Well, it doesn't use the word slave. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Another question that comes out is, are sinners slaves or servants of sin? So modern versions also say that people are slaves to sin, implying they have no choice. For example, in Romans 6 verse 17, the New International Version says, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. That's also in the Amplified, the ESV, etc. So, are we really slaves, or were we really slaves to sin before we were born again? What do you think the proper Bible has to say there? Now, this has a bearing on whether sinners can obey the gospel, because if they have no choice about being a slave to sin and their bondage to sin, if they have no choice about that, then how can they have a choice to obey the gospel? So I think it's very, very important for us to understand that. So we could ask the question, can slaves to sin really choose to then obey the gospel? So let's look at Romans 10 verse 16 in the King James Bible. Romans 10 verse 16. Look, going through this is very, very important, because we need to have a consistent faith. And you can see that if you're holding to these books purporting to be Bibles, but of course they're counterfeits, then you can see your doctrine is going to be affected. There's no getting around that. And Romans 10 verse 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So, you know, the gospel is preached, people must believe it, repent of sin, and receive Christ, and there—that's the obedience. That's what obeying the gospel is about. So, if you're a slave to sin, obeying the gospel doesn't make sense, does it? Well, the proper Bible shows what sinners really are, and it says in Romans 6 verse 17 of the King James Bible, Now, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now, isn't that interesting? You were servants of sin, but then the doctrine of the gospel came, and that doctrine of the gospel, that form of doctrine, you obeyed from the heart. You made that decision to obey the gospel. It's an important thing to understand. Have a look also at Romans 6, verse 18. Let's go back a little bit in Romans. And it says there in Romans 6, 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So this is the change that happens. You were a servant of sin. Now, through your obedience of the gospel, obeyed from the heart, now you've become the servants of righteousness. So Christ paid the price for our salvation. Obviously, the gospel presents that good news about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and we have to have a response to that. We have to obey the gospel. And that's an important concept to understand. Now, one other thing before we finish is that man's failings throughout history do not excuse or say that the Bible is wrong or inconsistent. For example, there may indeed have been, prior to Abraham Lincoln, true Christians that had slaves. Okay, it was legal at the time, and they had that. Just because of their failings, man's failings throughout history, and they weren't consistent with the Bible, it doesn't mean that God's word isn't consistent and that we shouldn't be consistent today. Can everyone see what I'm saying? In Mark 16, verse 14, Jesus upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. So unbelief and hardness of heart can come in, lusts can come in, and that can cause people to compromise. Of course, we don't want to be that, and there's all around us lots of evidence of Christians who are compromising, but of course, as we are consistent in our faith, believe that every word of God is pure, and choose to obey or be servants of righteousness and obey the Lord in response to his word, then we're not going to be caught up with these things like unbelief or hardness of heart or pride and things like that. We're going to be keeping our hearts soft before the Lord so that the seed of God's word can come in and we can be consistent people walking by faith. Now, there's quite a few references related to this, and I just want to read this out because this will be going up on the website, and it's found under Victory Faith Centre, the sermons, particularly in the Word of God section. Here are some of the sermons exposing the inconsistency of holding to modern Bible, in inverted commas, versions. I preach a two-part series, The War Against the Word of God, Part 1 and Part 2. If you haven't heard these, make sure you go and listen to them. Matthew Vashua preached The Famine of Hearing the Word of God. I preached Why Do We Hold to One Bible? I also preached Major Problems with Modern Versions. I preached Modern Versions Undermine the Fear of God. Samantha Savage preached Modern Versions Exalt Pride. Matthew Vashua preached Private Interpretations in Modern Versions, and I also preached Modern Versions Attack the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you start to put it all together, it forms a very, very strong case against the use of these counterfeits. And frankly, there's no excuse once you have that knowledge and you understand that the Lord has brought historically, right to now, the pure Cambridge edition of the King James Bible that we can hold to in English. English now being a global language, we can be consistent people in preparation for what the Lord wants to do in the end times. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. Thy word is truth, and we praise you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, that you have shown us your ways and continue to perfect our ways as we go forward in them in obedience. And Father, I ask that this week you help every person here to obey you from the heart and show us, Lord, if we are indeed going off the track, show us so that we can come back onto that track in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God.